Welcome back to the Hemingway List, the podcast of all podcasts. We're talking about part 5, chapter 25. What kind of parenting is this? Swim said the mum fish, she said, okay. I know this might be unpopular. Some of us are happy that Karenin has somebody who appears to love him after the disintegration of his marriage and all the sturm and drang. I get that. I want good things for him as well, but after my divorce, I also had someone who had known a long time profess to love me, and he did and still does. But he was not good for me and my children as a partner through life. He never will be. I don't believe Lydia is good enough for Karenin. She doesn't elevate him. Neither did or does my someone. Kitty, on the other hand, does for Levin. Don't take my word on it. All the internet analysis, lit charts, schmoop, spark notes, cliff notes, course hero, grade saver of Lydia's relationship with Karenin, trend negative. Per course hero's analysis of chapter 21 to 25, part 5, Karenin is on the road to moral and psychological ruin as a result of Anna's abandonment. The social pressure for them to marry pushed them both into a union that has proved disastrous. He had already lost ground at work because he was so distracted, evidenced by the fact that his rival Stemov was able to outmaneuver him and win the post that Karenin had expected to get, and now he has destroyed his career because of his unconventional behavior with regard to Anna's affair. No one has fired Karenin, they simply do not pay attention to him anymore, and he will no longer be promoted. Even Karenin's true act of Christian charity has been punished by society. The man who found the meaning of his life as well as a well-connected bureaucrat and has always cared about public opinion cannot help but be crushed by this outcome. When Lydia steps in to validate him, however, she replaces his true Christianity with her own distorted ideas. Although she praises his behavior with his wife, she does not think Anna deserved to be treated so kindly. She follows a creed that allows her to think that salvation is guaranteed simply by being a believer. And she still instills Karenin with her half-baked notions. Karenin is inclined to let his wife see Sirza and even says, "Who will throw a stone?" But Lydia convinces him that a visit from Anna would be bad for his son, especially because she has told him his mother is dead. Lydia is vindictive and petty. She drags Karenin down to her level because he has no one else to whom he can turn for comfort. Gunnardo says, "I'm right there with you. Lydia seems bad for Karenin. I think her intentions are purely selfish and her treatment of his son is so evil, stepmother. I can't even deal with it. Simply productive," said, "what a horrid woman. I guess my prediction that they could improve each other is turning out to be incorrect. Looks like Alexei is going to keep his son away from Anna after all, which is truly an awful thing to do." I am Norwegian, said, "I wonder if Karenin is going to have the heart to keep Anna from her son. Keeping her away seemed like the easy decision in the moment, but I think the guilt is going to start eating away at him." Karenin knew that Lydia told the kid that his mother was dead. The negative aspects of Lydia really shined through her letter. She's like the religious version of Karenin's bureaucrat bot personality. Maybe that's why he slips so easily into it. Gunnardo said, "The last line of the chapter in the PNV version is, 'But this temptation did not last long, and soon the tranquility of loftiness were restored in Alexei Alexandrovich's soul, thanks to which he was able to forget what he did not want to remember.'" Excuse me. "I think this is telling. Alexei is in deep denial and sinking into depression. He is trusting Lydia to make huge decisions, and she does not have his best interests at heart. This is not going to end well." What's with Tolstoy always going on about the loftiness of souls? That's my question. He loves it. Loves the loftiness of a soul. Look, I think it's become quite apparent, isn't it, that Maybe this, what's her name? Lydia is not the best lady. You know? Maybe.
All right. Oh, man.
I'm doing some serious yawns. Serious ones. Chapter 26. Well, Kapitonich, said Sirza, as on the day before his birthday he returned rosy and bright from a walk and gave his overcoat to a tall old hall porter, who looked smiling down from his height at the little fellow. Well, has the bandage officially been today? His papa seen him? Has papa seen him? He has seen him. As soon as the secretary left, I announced him, answered the hall porter with a wink. Let me take it off for you, Sirza said. Sirza, said his tutor, a Slav stopping in the doorway that led to the inner rooms, take it off yourself. But Sirza, though he heard his tutor's weak voice, paid no heed to it. He stood holding on by the porter's shoulder strap and looking into his face. Well, and has Papa done what he wanted? The hall porter nodded affirmatively. The bandaged official, who had called 7 times to petition Karenin about something, interested both Sirza and the hall porter. Sirza had met him in the hall and had heard him piteously begging the porter to announce him to Karenin, and saying that he and his children were face to face with death. Since then, having again met the official in the hall, Sirza had become interested in him. And was he very glad? He asked. How could he help being glad? He nearly jumped for joy as he went away. And has anything been brought? Inquired Sirza after a pause. Well, sir, said the porter, shaking his head and whispering, there is something from the Countess. Sirza knew at once that the hall porter was speaking of a birthday present for him from the Countess Lydia Ivanovna. You don't say so. Where is it? Corny has taken it up in to your papa. I should think it's a fine thing. What size? About so big? Not quite, but a fine thing. A book? No, just a thing. Go, go. Vasily Lukitch is calling you, said the hall porter, hearing the approaching step of the tutor and gently disengaging the little hand in the half-drawn-off glove, which held him by his shoulder strap as he nodded and winked toward the tutor. Vasily Lukitch, one moment, said Sirza, with that bright and affectionate smile which always overcame the conscientious Vasily Lukitch. Sirza was in too high spirits, too happy not to share with his friend the hall porter another family joy about which he had heard from Lydia Ivanovna's niece, whom he met walking in the summer gardens. This joy appeared to him particularly important because it coincided with the satisfaction of the official and his own happiness that a present had been brought. To Sirza it seemed that this day was one on which everybody ought to be happy and gay. Do you know Papa has received the Order of Alexander Nevsky? Of course I do. People have already been calling to congratulate him. Well, and is he pleased? How can he help being pleased at the Tsar's favour? It shows he's deserved it, replied the hall porter sternly and seriously. Sirza grew thoughtful as he peered into the hall porter's face, which he had studied in minute detail, especially the chin, which hung beneath the grey whiskers and which no one saw but Sirza, who always looked up at him. And your daughter, has she been here lately? The hall porter's daughter was a ballet dancer. How can she come on weekdays? They have to learn too, and so must you, sir. Go along. On entering the schoolroom, instead of sitting down to his lessons, Sirza told his tutor of his guess that the parcel that had been brought must be a railway train. What do you think? He asked. But Vasily Lukitch only thought that Sirza must prepare his grammar lesson. As his teacher was coming at 2. Oh, but just tell me, Vasily Lukitch, said Sirza, suddenly, after sitting down at the table with a book in his hand, what is higher than the Alexander Nevsky? You know Papa has received the Order of Alexander Nevsky. Vasily Lukitch replied that the Order of Vladimir was higher. And higher still? The highest is the St. Andrew. And higher still? I don't know. Even you don't know, said Sirza. And Sirza, leaning his elbows on the table, began to reflect. His reflections were most complex and varied. He imagined his father suddenly receiving the orders of Vladimir and St. Andrew, and how much kinder in consequence he would be today at lesson time, and how he himself, when he grew up, would receive all the orders, and that they would invent one higher than the St. Andrew. As soon as it was invented, he would gain it. a yet higher one would be invented, and he would immediately get that one too. In these reflections, time passed until the teacher arrived. The lesson on the attributes of time, place, and manner of action had not been learned. The teacher was not only dissatisfied, but also saddened. His sadness touched Sirzah. He did not feel guilty, not for not having learned his lesson, for try as he would, he positively could not do it. While the teacher was explaining, he believed him and seemed to understand, but as soon as he was left alone, he positively could not remember or understand how so short and simple a word as suddenly could be an attribute of the manner of action. But all the same, he was sorry he had grieved his teacher. He chose a moment when the teacher was looking silently into the book. "Michael Ivanich, when is your birthday?" he suddenly asked. "You would do better to think of your work. Birthdays do not signify anything to reasonable beings. It is just a day like any other on which we must work." Sirzah looked attentively at his teacher, at his thin little beard and his spectacles, which had slipped down the bridge of his nose, and became so engrossed in thought that he no longer heard what his teacher was explaining. He was aware that the teacher himself did not believe what he was saying. He felt that by the tone in which the words were uttered, but why have they all agreed to speak in the same way about the dullest and most useless things? Why does he repulse me? Why does he not love me? He asked himself sadly and could find no answer. All right. There we go. Another chapter chaptered. Have your say about that one over at the subreddit. I do apologize that was a bad reading. My brain's just a bit fried. I've got fried up brains, that's why. Thanks for listening. I will see you tomorrow.